Let's worship the Lord today. Aren't you glad to be in the presence of the Lord today? Hallelujah, Jesus. This is not just any old church. Amen. But this is a church that preaches the truth. And if you're going to have God, you have to have the truth. If you're going to have God, you got to have His Word. You cannot have God and omit, pick what you want and leave the rest out. You got to have the whole truth. Amen. You got to have all of the truth. He is a God of precision. Amen. And if you want God, you have to precisely follow Him and obey His word. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing to be in the presence of the Lord. His blood shed on the cross opened up a way that we could get into His presence and feel what we have felt right here in this place today. Amen. And the truth of the gospel preached will get you right into the Holy of Holies. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so good to have everybody. So good to have all of these visitors here today. Amen. I love visitors. And God bless you. You may be seated. We want to take advantage of those pews. And hallelujah. But I want to give honor to your pastor and my elder, Brother Howard. I love him very much and his wife. I give honor to them. And it's amazing. It's amazing how... If you'll just put young people, if you just put your life in the hands of God and let Him order your steps, genuinely do it. Don't grab the steering wheel every once in a while and try to drive, you'll wreck. But I just look back over my life and I just thank God I had enough sense and a good elder that really still looks a whole lot like Elder Howard. He reminds me so much of Elder Howard, Brother Henry Preston, and he got my attention. And I thank God that He did. And He helped me through the most important thing in my life, and that's seeking a wife. And He said, I'm praying for you a wife. And I'm not only praying for you a wife, but I'm praying that the Lord will reveal her to me when I see her. Well, I believe that. I had faith in that man, and God used him. And anyway, it wasn't shortly after that. It was a short time after that. This beautiful Cherokee, she said she's a Cherokee princess. Well, she didn't have to try to convince me. I thought she was. Just showed up at our church, and it was over with for me. Amen. I fell in love. Oh, my goodness. Woo. Yeah, if I'd only known. It's probably a good thing I didn't know everything. but anyway, I said, now, don't you, man, anyway, Anyway, 5 months and 2 weeks later, we got married. And we knew that yeah, He did. And I know that it was the Lord's will, and He worked it all out. The both of us was praying for God's will. But you know what? When I fell in love with this beautiful young lady, I remember the first time I came to Oklahoma. And I'd never been to Oklahoma, never been to Tulsa. And I drove after work like crazy, got up here at midnight. And I just pulled over somewhere, and it happened to be 3rd and Utica. And, 3rd and Utica. Pulled over and got the phone. I still remember. Quick Trip there. And I called, and Georgette answered the phone, and she gave the phone to her daddy. He said, I know right where you're at. And so he said, I'll be right down there and pick you up, lead you to the house. So anyway, when I met my future dad-in-law, we clicked just like that. And I've always been very close to my dad-in-law, and then shortly after that, I met the rest of the family, and I didn't just fall in love with a young lady, but I fell in love with a family, and I really do. I'm telling you, I thought it was awesome, the reunions that we had, and a lot of great things happened, but I said all of that to say this: you never know. You never know if you let God unfold your life. You let the Lord unfold your life. I never dreamed that Brother Howard would be like an elder in my life. Since we went to Mexico, I've gotten so much closer to him. I've always loved him and admired him, but it's just God put your life together, and if you just You let the Lord order your steps. He'll make something beautiful out of your life. You know, and I say that because a lot of young people, especially nowadays, they want what they want right now, right now, right now. I want my boyfriend right now, my girlfriend right now. And they make a mess out of their life, and it's a mess forever. And God, you know, can help and all of that, but still there's some things anyway. But if you'll just put I'm testifying today, young people, if you'll just put God first and let Him help you, amen. But I'm thankful for my wife. And we've been married for almost 44 years. June will be 44 years. And that was the happiest 10 years of my... 44 years of my Hallelujah. Amen. No, we've been happily married. I'm thankful to God for my wife. Amen. And anyway, I love this church. And I'm just glad to be here this morning. Amen. And... anyway, y'all didn't go to sleep on me, are you? Hallelujah. Amen. I want to go to the word of the Lord, but I love my mother and dad-in-law. It's so good to have them today. And I gained a second daddy whenever I married my wife. And I appreciate it. Amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord. I want to be a blessing to this church. I want to see somebody encouraged. I want to see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost today, or renewed in the Holy Ghost. And that's the purpose. You know, Jesus is here. Jesus is moving here, and He is touching lives. He's not done yet. Amen. He's not done yet. Hallelujah. There's things that goes on at church that don't go on anywhere else. Not at your job, not at Walmart, not at the restaurant. But I'm going to tell you, He's got a table spread today. Amen. He's got a purpose for your life. Hallelujah. And the word of the Lord is to help us and to give us faith and to give us direction. Isaiah chapter 11. Amen. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. Amen. And I'll just tell you, I've always been a concrete man. Did concrete work. And I lay foundations, and if you're going to have a good house or good building, you got to lay a good foundation. And that's, it's just my style. I read a few scriptures, and amen, to build a foundation. Amen. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And it's speaking of Jesus. We know that David was the son of Jesse, and they said that Jesus was the son of David. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And this was talking about when Jesus would come and be born in the earth. And he would come for a purpose, to establish a kingdom, a church, a mighty church. And in this kingdom, in verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with a lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with a kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, where's that going to happen? Up in Mars or something? No, it's going to happen. We're going to find out where it happens. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And we're talking about snaky things and serpents and children playing where they live. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Anybody here knows what that holy mountain of the Lord is? Mount Zion? It's the church. Mount Zion. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he said, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And that's, we know it's talking about Jesus. To it shall the Gentiles seek. That's us. If you're not a Jew, you're Gentile. Amen. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, we know according to the scriptures, we could go on to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11, that with stammering lips and another tongue, Amen. I was speaking to my people and he's talking about the Holy Ghost coming. Amen. The Holy Ghost is a rest. It's not Saturday. Amen. It's every day of the week we've entered into to the rest of the Lord when we receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to John chapter 15 and verse 1. John chapter 15. Hallelujah. John 15 verse 1. Jesus speaking, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bringeth beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. Everybody say that. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now that doesn't mean you can't drive your car and go to work and go to the store. It talks about you can't accomplish anything in the kingdom of heaven, in the work of God, without Jesus. If you work in being disconnected from him, all your labor is in vain. You can't do anything without Jesus. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. The word and my words abide in you. Hallelujah. And it just came to my mind. I thought my wife told me we had some pictures, but I guess we could just, okay. She's going like that, so I guess there's no picture. That's okay, because I forgot. Hallelujah. Just picture in your mind a beautiful church. We had 200, eighth year anniversary on Sunday morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 3. Amen. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, not old hard tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables, the tender heart, in the fleshly tables of the heart. Amen. Ezekiel 36. I'm not going to read the whole Bible, but just some of it. Ezekiel 36. Amen. And 24, verse 24. Ezekiel 36 and verse 24. For I will call you from among the heathen. And that's a calling out. God always calls his people out to be separate from the world, from the way they think, the way they act, what they eat, what they smoke, what they drink, what have you. It's a calling out, the way they dress, the way they think. Amen. It's still a calling out. Amen, brothers. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart. Everybody say a new heart. A new heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. Now that's a small s. It's talking about your spirit. He's going to give you a new spirit. Will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, do you think that he's saying, like grabbing you by the nape of the neck, and you're going to do it, buddy. You're going to obey this word. You're going to. No, because when you get that new heart, and you get that new spirit, you're going to get a complete makeover in your passions and your desires. And your loves is all going to change. And it's going to make you want to do it. You're going to have a desire to do it. It's not going to be a forced thing. Amen. Hallelujah. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Hallelujah. One more scripture in Galatians chapter 5, and then we can take advantage of that pew again. Galatians chapter 5, amen, in verse 13. Hallelujah. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Now, that sounds like those barren leopard things, don't it? Right. Oh, lions. And... Yes, sir. Right. Hmm. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. This is the solution. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, and the today's English version says the works of the human nature, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Today's English version says, they that are Christ have are put to death their human nature. Amen. If we live in the Spirit, let us also work in the Spirit. I just want to talk from this subject, amen, engrafted, being engrafted into Jesus. Amen. It's the only way that we can be a son of God. Amen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would open every ear and heart to your word. Oh God, I pray that you'd do a work among us here today. Save, Lord Jesus. Restore. In the name of the Lord, anoint me to preach your word. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord today. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want to tell you that whenever we were born wild, wild. The Bible said that wild olive tree. By nature, we were born wild. Amen. We were untamable, indomitable. Amen. We could not be controlled. Our nature was wild, naturally sinful. Laws couldn't tame us or control us. Amen. Religious laws and its do's and don'ts and its formalisms and all of the religious practices could not control that wild nature that we were born with. You may dominate it for a while, or you may control it for a little while. Amen. With all of those things. But after a while, that nature's going to come up again. Amen. Because there's nothing in this world that can control our wild nature. You can take a drug addict, you can take an alcoholic, and you can put him in jail for 10 years or 20 years. But whenever that door opens, the first thing he's going to look for is another drink. He's going to look for another drug. He's going to go back to doing what his old wild nature would, because you got him behind bars. But you hadn't cured his spirit, and you hadn't cured those passions. We had to have something very powerful happen to us to change us and make us a new creature. Religion never could do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lot of times people come to our church, and I was one of them many years ago, and I saw the holiness dress, and I saw the worship, and I saw God's holy people, and I thought to myself, I could never live like that. And a lot of people come and they think, oh, I could never live like that. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can't. You can't on your own. But if you can get engrafted into Jesus, if you can have something mighty powerful happen to you that would change your heart and change your spirit and make you a new creature. That's the reason why Jesus said you must be born of the water and of the spirit. You got to be born again. You got to have a whole new overhaul. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. That's why the devil don't want people to be baptized in Jesus' name. I was baptized in the Trinity, and I didn't feel any different at all. But when I was about 17 years old, I got baptized in Jesus' name. Woo! I felt all of that load of sin that lifted off of me. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood, and there's power in the name. And if you're going to get the blood, and without blood, there's no remission of sins. The blood is applied when you're baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you don't have the name, there's no blood. Hallelujah. Some booger bear could come in here and grab somebody and try to do harm, and the usher could accidentally bump him in the nose, you know? And the blood run out, and police get here. Anybody know who that was? No, nobody knows who he was, but here's some blood. Oh, no problem. Who's ever heard of that DNA thing? And they take that DNA, and all of a sudden they got a name connected to that blood. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to get the blood of Jesus, you got to call on his name when you're baptized. Hallelujah. You can't separate the blood from the name. Hallelujah. Well, and then whatever, you got to be born of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, hallelujah, it was a powerful experience. Peter before had denied the Lord. Amen. He had spent day and night with Jesus, and heard his word. And I'm going to tell you, he made his profession of faith. You know, I made my profession of faith many years ago in a religious church. I accepted the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, a profession of faith will never, ever control. It never will dominate that wild spirit in you. Amen. Peter, he made his profession of faith, and he said, I'll follow you even unto death. Jesus said, no, you ain't. You're going to deny me three times before that cock crows. Oh, no, I would never do that. Oh, yes, you will, because you got that wild nature. And that's exactly what happened. But whenever we get to the other side of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, hallelujah, there was a whole new Peter that was made over. He was born of the water and of the Spirit. And then later on, he gave his life to the Lord. He was scared. He was scared when they saw him coming for Jesus, and he knew he was one of those disciples, and he was hiding out. That's right. Hallelujah. Well, a profession of faith is just not going to cut it. We got to have something so powerful happen to us to change, to give us a new heart and to give us a new spirit and to change our passions and our desires. Amen. You must be born again. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, people have tried to tame animals through the years to their own hurt. You know, these lion tamers, and they think they're so tough. And man, and then the first thing you know, they wind up getting eaten up by them, attacked by them. I remember hearing a story, I guess it was in the jungles of Africa or whatever, but a leopard. The kids found a little baby leopard. Meow, meow. And Daddy, we want to take him home. Oh, ain't he precious? Oh, it's so cute. It's just a little harmless little kitty cat. And the old chief said, you better get rid of that thing. Old wise chief, he knew what he was talking about. Oh, no, my kids love this thing. Meow, meow. And then that thing started growing. Instead of going meow, meow, it's going meow, meow. And then Oh, we just give him a bone to chew on all the time. He's okay, yeah. Well, eventually they got off out in the jungle somewhere, and one of the kids got up after that chief kept telling him, you need to get rid of that thing. You need to get rid of him. And the way I understand that one of the kids run up against a briar and scratched his arm, and that leopard smelt that blood. And all of a sudden, that old leopard's nature came alive. And he attacked that child and killed it. Because you can't tame that old nature. You may control it for a little while, but sooner or later, that old nature's going to come alive. Amen. It's going to come alive. Hallelujah. And that's the way that we are. We've got a wild nature about us. Amen. In Mexico, I use this illustration a good bit about, we call him Pancho Puerco in Mexico. And you could take old Pancho Puerco, he's a pig, you know, Pancho the pig, the hog. And you can take him and get you some shampoo and some soap and a brush and scrub him up real good and put him a tie on and spray some of that cologne on him and make him real pretty and take him to a religious gathering and you can tell him, you don't be a hog, you hear me? You don't be rolling in all that stinky stuff. That ain't what we're supposed to do. Don't be a hog. And then whenever the door opens, he's going down the street. No, Pancho the hog, Pancho Puerco. He's walking down the street, and all of a sudden he hears, hey, Pancho. Yeah, man. Let's go rolling like we always do. He looks around. He don't see nobody, and he all right. And he's down there rolling in it and got his nose and all that stinky stuff. Why? Because he's got a hog's nature. But now if you could take old Pancho Hog, Pancho Puerco, to some place and where they could open his heart up and take out that old hog heart and put a lamb's heart in there. And then whenever he gets out and he's walking down the street and he hears that, hey, Pancho the pig, hey, Pancho Puerco, let's go roll like we always do. No, I don't even have a desire to. I don't even want to do that anymore. That's kind of funny, but you know, that's exactly what God does. That's what he wants to do to everybody. He wants to give you a new heart. Don't look at us and think, I could never live like them. I could never dress like them. I don't understand. Why do they just want to go to church all the time? Why do they cry and pray and worship the Lord? What's wrong with those people? I'll tell you, you can do it. You just need a new heart. You need a new spirit. You need the spirit of the Lord in you. And it will cause you to want to. It'll cause you to want to obey the word of God. There'll be something in there that'll make you want to live holy. There'll be something in there that'll make you desire to please the one that saved you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're talking about something that ain't no religion can do. You know, Jesus came to an earth, amen, that was full. He came to Israel and it was full of religion. Yeah. It was full of religion. Jesus didn't come to say, hey, I got another religion for you guys. No, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give us a fountain of living water. He came to give us a power that would make us a son of God. He came to give us a power that we could become a son of God. Religion had only succeeded in making a bunch of hypocrites full of pride and arrogance. That's what's going on with churches today. A lot of they just can't deal with sin, so they just don't preach against it anymore. They don't have a solution for it. And I want to tell you, you've come to a place today, amen, where the Almighty God is moving. Hallelujah. You're still pouring out of His Spirit. And you can receive the Holy Ghost. You can come to an altar where He'll give you a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's a common practice of engrafting. You know, I think they do that a lot probably out in California, and where they take an old, they can take a branch off of one fruit tree I remember my daddy had a couple of wild plum trees out there where we lived in Texas. And I didn't know why in the world, what you got those things for. The old plums on them was so bitter and sour. But I found out, I think he planted them for switches because, they made good switches. They just wrap around you and just, steam like fire. But you could take one of those old, you can take one of those old wild plum branches and you can take a tree that produces good, big, sweet fruit. And you can just open up the trunk of that thing and stick that branch down in there and wrap it up. And the sap that comes from the root, and it's flowing in that sap, and it reaches, it goes, it flows through that old wild branch. And all of a sudden it's producing something sweet and something enjoyable to eat. It's producing a sweet fruit. You know, that's what I believe the Bible was talking about when it said that we're engrafted into the vine. He said, I am the true vine. And we get engrafted whenever we obey the gospel, when we repent and baptize in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. We're engrafted into that true vine. Jesus, when he died on the cross, they took a spear and stuck into his side, and blood and water came out. And I just kind of feel like that's right where the church was engrafted. Hallelujah. Amen. That love and that nature of Jesus flows into the church. And that's the reason why they first called them Christians in Antioch. Because that spirit, that new heart and new spirit, and the spirit of the Lord flowing. They looked like Jesus. They acted like Jesus. They spoke like Jesus. It wasn't something that they had accomplished in religion. Hallelujah. Everybody in Mexico has religion. Everybody. You can find no drunk on the street. Can't hardly walk. And invite him to church. Hey man, come on. Why don't you come to our church? Man, you'll feel the love of God and the power of God. I got my religion. Yeah. Well, if religion can't set you free and can't deliver you of that, why do you have religion? I'll tell you what it does. It's like Jesus said, you convert him and you make him twofold the child of hell that you are. Oh, look how many people we've won to the Lord. No, you've won for the other direction. You're teaching them doctrines that won't save them. I'm going to tell you, you've got to be engrafted into Jesus, and that only happens in obeying Acts 2:38. That's the gospel, by the way. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We die with him in repentance. We're buried with him in baptism. We're risen with him when we get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But you got to stay engrafted. You got to stay connected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are wild branches engrafted into Jesus, and only the continual flowing of his spirit in us will tame us and keep us producing fruit. The engrafted word affects our wild nature and saves us. Hallelujah. You know, many years ago, when we started our Spanish work in Buford, Georgia, there was a lady by the name of Marta Garcia. And I kept trying to get her to come to church, and her husband was mean. And she'd come some, and finally she came. She started coming a little more, and she got the Holy Ghost one night. Now, Marta Garcia, she always wore these real tight black breeches, and she always smoked them cigarettes. I think they were Cools. She thought she was cool. She smoked them cigarettes and wore them tight, tight black breeches. But the night she got the Holy Ghost, she called me up, I think a day or two after that, and she was crying. She said, Pastor, I don't know. I just don't feel good about wearing those pants anymore. I just don't feel good. And I just don't feel good about smoking anymore. I just throw those things away. I don't feel, you know what it is? It's the word of God written on the table of her heart. I never said anything. I didn't read to her Deuteronomy chapter 22, where it teaches us that men are not supposed to wear women's apparel, and women are not supposed to wear men's apparel. I didn't preach to her about not smoking. It was the Holy Ghost. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll lead you and guide you into all truth and righteousness. That word is written on the fleshly tables of your heart, and you're supposed to. Hallelujah. You're supposed to feel something when you start to do something that just ain't just right. Hallelujah. Because you got a new spirit and you got a new heart. And that word is in your heart. Well, nobody ever taught me that. No, but that spirit and that word works together. And you just, there's just some things you just don't feel right. There's just something about this I don't feel right. You know what? There's a problem with saints in the church, and especially, well, hallelujah. Anyway, people that are supposed to have gotten the Holy Ghost, there's a problem whenever the pastor gets up and he's preaching on holiness and you're resenting it and you're resisting it. And you want to say, Pastor, show me scripture and verse for that. We shouldn't. I'll tell you one thing. If you've got the Holy Ghost when the pastor's preaching about separation from the world and holiness, because we are His people, we're supposed to be born, you know, of God. If we're born of God, then we should want to be like Him, right? Amen? There's something wrong whenever you want a scripture and verse and you're fighting holiness and you don't like it. I'm going to tell you, you still got that old wild nature trying to come up against the Word of God. That's what it is. You need to get you another drink of Jesus. You need to get another drink of that Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You need to get renewed. Hallelujah. You need to get that heart down at the altar again. Many years ago, I was working at a place, and right after we moved to Beaufort, Georgia, and I like to win souls. And where I was working at the dinner table, I was witnessing to these guys. But there was a real knucklehead sitting there. And I'm scared to say what I think he is, because I'm not sure for sure, but I think he might be. Man, he's supposed to be Jesus' name. Bad spirit. And he was sitting there, and while I was witnessing to these guys and started wanting to talk about some television evangelist preacher or something, I said, "What?" And it embarrassed me. And I said, we don't believe in that. And so, boy, he got mad. And I got embarrassed. I'm trying to win souls to God. And so the bell rung. It was only 30 minutes. We didn't have too much time. The bell rung. And I'm walking back to my place to go to work. And he's probably as far as from here to the back door or further. He always carried him a little Bible, New Testament Bible, in his pocket. And he hollered at me in front of all of those people. Embarrassed me. He said, "Show me in here where it's a sin to watch TV." This all right? He got mad. And so I was embarrassed. I just turned around and I just walked right up to him. No, I didn't. I did walk up to him. I did walk up to him. And I got right up to him because I didn't want to shout back at him. But I got right up to him and I told him, "Show me in there where it says it's a sin to drink Jack Daniel." Well, it ain't in there. I said, "That's right, but it teaches Bible principle, don't it?" Yes, it does. You know, whenever you got the Holy Ghost, there's just some things, there's some principles in the Word of God that just, I'm talking, this is my testimony. I remember we had first started, I hadn't even got the Holy Ghost yet. My mama did, and I think my sisters did. Nobody told us anything about that thing, but we're sitting in front of it. That TV, nobody said, "You need to do that. You hear me?" That's what I'm talking about. Whenever you get that new spirit and you get that new heart, hallelujah, He'll cause you to keep His word. He'll cause you to walk in His statutes and holiness. And we're all thinking, "What's wrong? I don't see nothing wrong with it." And I was like, and I was looking over at my mom and daddy, and it kind of changed the channel. You know, and so we're sitting there, and think I know what they might be talking about. My daddy got that thing. My daddy didn't even have the Holy Ghost. He got that thing and got it out. And we're talking about 1973, it's way different today. But you know what it is? Whenever the Holy Ghost comes, it'll talk to you if you'll let it. It'll lead you into all holiness and righteousness. And I just don't feel too good about this. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the Word of God that He's put in your heart. He's changed your spirit. He's changed your heart. And all of a sudden you can see things that you never could see before. And all of a sudden your passions are changing. And your desires have changed. Hallelujah. Anyway, going on. When we get disconnected, you know, He said, if I abide in you, we all know that that's the Holy Ghost. If the Lord abides in us and we abide in Him. Now, how do we abide in Him? Where's Jesus at today? Well, where's the body of Christ at today? It's the church. We have a big problem in Mexico with people staying faithful to church. They want to treat it like religion. They just come when they feel like they want to come. Well, you know what? There's things that goes on here in the house of God. We're the body of Christ, and we're all members in particular. Amen. And God has a work for the church to be doing, and every member has a purpose in the house of God. And whenever the hand is over there at Walmart and another one's cooking steaks out on the grill and the other one's visiting another church and this one felt led, woo, to go to this church over here and it's just scattered. That's not the will of God. There's a disconnection there. And I ain't never seen anybody that just don't get it, that you got to stay faithful to the house of God. Because you see, there's something going on in here. This is the apple of God's eye. This is where God is operating. It's like a heartbeat, and it's pumping life, and it's pumping, amen, life's blood to every member. And I ain't never seen anybody that never did learn, that stayed around very long. Eventually, they're gone. Amen. We got to abide in Christ. You got to keep coming to church. You got to be faithful to church. You know what? Your flesh is a perfect enemy of God. That's right. Your flesh don't like holiness. Your flesh don't like going to church. Your flesh don't like coming into the holy presence of God. No, it don't. That's the reason why we fight to get people to come to church and to stay, keep coming to church. Because your flesh don't want it. The flesh don't like the thing. The Bible says that there's a warfare there. The flesh is an enemy of the Spirit of God. That's the reason why we've got to have the Holy Ghost. And we got to have the Holy Ghost renewed. The Bible teaches us in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 and on down. It says that we're not saved. It teaches us that we're not saved by works which we have done, but by His mercy and by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Got to stay connected. You got to stay engrafted in Jesus. That sap flowing from the root and flowing in the branches is what produces fruit. Don't ever think that, well, I've been around here for 50 years and I know it all. It's impossible for me to be removed. I've taught Sunday school and I'm Mr. Big Shot around here. I'm going to tell you what. You will dry up and you'll be cut off, because every one of us has to have the flowing of that Spirit. We got to stay connected. We got to stay connected to the true vine. We can't do anything. We can't be saved. We can't do a real work for God. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. It's not a work of the flesh. It's not a work of ability. Talents. Amen. The wild nature wants to come back. Brothers and sisters, the wild nature wants to come back. When I was a little kid, I read a book. I read a book, it's called The Call of the Wild. I don't remember all of the details, but I remember it was about a dog that was half wolf and half dog. And the dog part loved his master. But the wolf part, at night, whenever they were laying down asleep, and the best I remember, this dog wolf dog, he loved his master. And he defended him a lot of times and fought for him and all of that. But at night, he would hear that, oh, 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 and something would rise up. And he would want, it was something in him that wolf part was coming alive, and it wanted to go out there and do what wolfy things do. But he was in the house with that master. But one night, the best I remember, he was left outside. He was outside and he heard that, oh, 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 and that hair raised up and that desire, that old nature rose up. And the first thing you know, he heeded the call of the wild and he went back to being the wolf. The wolf took over and he began to do what wolves do. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, every one of us hear the call of the wild. Do you hear me? Everybody hears the call of the wild from time to time. And if you're not engrafted in Jesus, if you don't stay in Him and Him in you, that old wild nature, that's the reason why we have people that, what happened to them? How come they don't come to church anymore? They heard the call of the wild. Because religion, the pastor can't do it. The assistant pastor and the Sunday school teachers, they can't beat you over the head enough to control that wild nature. You're going to have to stay engrafted. You're going to have to stay connected. Oh, Jesus, help us today. God, help us today. Hallelujah. 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 You better stay or get reconnected. Amen. And that's part of, I believe that Jesus, He knows who's here today. And He wants to call somebody to get back connected. Hallelujah. Because that's love and joy and peace. Hallelujah. Salvation comes from Jesus. Amen. Drinking from that fountain, you just keep on drinking. Hallelujah. That's what makes us like Jesus, is staying connected with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That new birth experience takes the old heart, the hard heart, out and puts a new heart, easy to be touched by God and reasoned with, and puts a new spirit in us, a new nature with changed passions, desires, a new nature of peace and love and rest and forgiveness, and a desire to be holy. A desire to be holy. Hallelujah. In times past, we were like the wolf and the bear and the lion and the leopard, and amen. That's right. There's some people probably in this church that in times past, everybody probably had to be scared of you. Hallelujah. We probably had some snaky things, snaky types in the church here. And when you had your back turned, they'd bite you. And that's what happens when that sap is not flowing, when the spirit is not flowing. And then all of that was what was going on in the church there in Galatians, I guess, is they had started kind of getting disconnected. And the old natures was rising up. And they were biting and devouring one another. That old human nature, the wild nature. Many years ago, I heard right here in Oklahoma, somebody said, well, that's just the way I am. I'm a, and I ain't going to say the name. I might remember who it was. Blank. I'm a blank. Burp. And that's just the way I am. You're just going to have to accept me the way. Oh, no, no, no. That blank has to be crucified with Jesus. That old nature has to be crucified. Amen. Because he said, they're not going to hurt in my holy mountain. If you're going to be a part of God's kingdom, the old bear and the lion, the snaky thing, has got to be crucified with Christ. It's got to be dominated by the flowing of that spirit. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to close with this. But how many remembers, how many remembers a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus? Whenever you read about the first church in the book of Acts, amen, you find out even before that that religion is what crucified Jesus. Oh yeah, the high priest, he even knew that one was going to die for the sins of all the people, and he still was on the wrong side. He's still wanting to seek him out to kill him. The high priest, the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were so sad, you see. And so they were. The religion is what persecuted the church. And there was this man by the name of Saul of Tarsus that was very religious. And he hated Jesus' name people. He hated those apostolic Jesus' name people. And he was killing them. He was the terror of the age. You could be talking with a brother and say, hey, brother John, did you know that Saul of Tarsus is coming by? What? Let's get out of here. Let's go. Is there a cave we can go to? Because he was killing people left and right. He was the terror of his day. And so this mean Saul of Tarsus, he had gotten papers from his religion to go kill some more at Damascus. You know the story. Most of you do, I think. And he's marching with a determination, with a hatred for apostolic Jesus' name. You know, we're hated even today by religion. You know who we got to fear in Mexico? The cartels? Oh no, we're hated by religion down there, believe you me. We've suffered at the hands of religion somewhat, not as the first church. But anyway, so Saul of Tarsus, he's coming. He's going to Damascus. But all of a sudden he sees a light brighter than the noonday sun. And he falls to his knees and he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" I want you to listen to this. Most likely he probably said, "Who art thou, Jehovah?" And the voice came back and said, "Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Oh no. And all of a sudden he saw the light. All of a sudden, all of the scriptures he had studied all of his life, those scriptures that he had learned in all of his religion and in all of those seminars and everything. Whoa, he is the Messiah. He was the one. And I assisted in killing him and killing the church. Oh, he saw the light, but he was blinded by the light physically. Oh, but he saw the light. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. The Almighty. He's not a second person in the Trinity. He is the Almighty God robed in flesh. He realized all of a sudden he wasn't a God junior. He wasn't just a prophet. He was the Almighty God. He was the Messiah. The one promised, God manifest in the flesh. God with us, Emmanuel. God with us, not another God with us. Hallelujah. Thou shalt call his name wonderful. It's talking about Jesus, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus, the Son, was called the Everlasting Father. He saw all these scriptures. And he's walking down to Damascus now. What do you want me to do? What would you have me to do? Go to Damascus to a man by the name of Ananias. Well, who is this Ananias? Why don't you tell me what to do? No, because Jesus put this in the hands of men that's been delivered and saved by the power of that gospel. And that's God's plan. Amen. Cornelius, he saw an angel. The angel didn't preach the gospel to him. Cornelius told him to go for Peter. Amen. A man that puts his pants on just like anybody else. But he was saved by the same gospel he's fixing to preach to him. I'm going to tell you, that's the plan of God. He put the gospel that we hear preached in this church in the hands of a man that was saved by that same gospel. Go to Ananias. And so he's going to Ananias, but believe you me, he's doing some repenting. He's weeping and crying. Oh God, forgive me. How can you forgive me for what I've done? Killing the saints of the living God. Killing your people. This is Jesus, the Almighty God's people. And I thought he was an imposter. I thought he was not real. I thought he was just a prophet or something. I didn't realize. But he saw the light. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is here. And Jesus is the light. And oh, he will turn the lights on in your mind and in your heart. And help you to see that he's not number two. He's number one. He is the Almighty. There's only one Lord. One faith and one baptism. There's only one God. There's only one God. He was both. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the oneness. He said, this same Jesus whom ye have crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. When you speak of Lord, you talk about the Almighty God, the invisible God, the omnipresent God, the eternal God. But whenever you speak of Christ, you speak of the humanity, the flesh and the blood. He was both God and man. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that the lights came on and it revealed to me who Jesus is. And so he's on his way. He's on his way to Damascus. And here is Ananias. He's praying. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this. Oh, thank you, Lord. Ananias. Yes, Lord. There's a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Come. What? This guy? No. No. Tell him to get out of here. No. Don't you know what he's doing? He's killing everybody, Lord. Hey, wait a minute. Hold up. Just calm down. I've met him in the way. He's got a new heart. Oh, he's got a new spirit. Hallelujah. I've changed his mind. And whenever he gets to you, I'm going to fill him with the Holy Ghost. And you're going to baptize him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so that's exactly what happened. Whenever old Saul of Tarsus got to Ananias, he prayed. Ananias prayed for him. Amen. He didn't just receive his sight, but the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that he was baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, you want to talk about a brand new, different man. Hallelujah. Whenever they said, now tonight Saul of Tarsus is going to come and preach. What? Nobody's going to come to church. This guy, no, 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 no. You need to understand something. This man has had a total makeover. This man has been totally overhauled. There's not a Christian on the face of the earth that will ever, ever, ever have to fear Saul of Tarsus anymore. In fact, of the matter is, his name is Apostle Paul. He don't even have the same name anymore. It's Apostle Paul. Nobody on the face of the earth that was baptized in Jesus' name and a member of the true church ever, 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 ever again had to fear this man, Saul of Tarsus, ever. Hey, Mr. Lion, you want a good old bloody juicy steak? No, I don't want to hurt nobody. I love her, but just give me some old hay to chew on. I want to tell you, in our world, there's violence, there's hatred, there's racism. And one race is against the other, and there's hatred. They want to kill one another. But in God's holy mountain, that's the reason why we can love. We can hug one another's neck and say, I love you, brother, with tears in our eyes. Because we've had a makeover in God's holy mountain. There will not be any harm. Amen. It don't exist here. If it does exist in some individual, it's because they ain't in the kingdom of God. They ain't in the church of the living God. They're just attending. But whenever you get what we're talking about, whenever you get, well, you get connected, you get engrafted in Jesus, you let him fill you with the Holy Ghost, you stay there and stay in the church, it'll make you love everybody. Make you love everybody. It'll give you a new desire. Your loves will change. You won't crave the things of the world. You'll desire to come to church. It'll make you love your enemy. Amen. And that's the reason why in this church, everybody is welcome, because we love everybody. We love every race. Genuinely, it's not fakey. We genuinely love every race. I'm in Mexico. There's a lot of Americans in Mexicans that are at one another's throat. This old gringo's down there risking my life because I love Mexicans. Well, how did that happen? I'm going to tell you, I got engrafted in that vine. Hallelujah. And the love of God, he died for the whole world. Hallelujah. And that love got a hold of me. Oh, Jesus. Anybody here want it today? Why don't we all stand? Hallelujah. Religion ain't going to do it. A profession of faith ain't going to do it. But, oh, Jesus is here and he's still pouring out the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Does anybody want the Holy Ghost today? Hallelujah. It will absolutely make you a new creature. It's the only thing that will make you a son of God. John chapter 1, it says that he came into his own and his own received him not. But those that received him, I received Christ. No, wait a minute. Those that received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. Acts 1 and 8 says, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's a power to make you a son of God. Jesus told those religious guys, you're not of your father Abraham, you're of your father the devil. You do what the devil does. You look like the devil. Well, I got my religious suit on. You look like, you act like the devil. You full of dead man's bones. You're a hypocrite. You're making twofold child of hell people that you bring to your religious church. But if you can get the Holy Ghost, if you'll just understand, the only way, your religious garb and your position in your religion is not going to cut it. But if you can understand that the Lord is pouring out the Holy Ghost since the day of Pentecost, he's pouring out of his spirit. Oh, hallelujah. That's what makes us a child of God. That's what makes us a son of God. And that's the reason why we desire to look like him and act like him and do like him. And here's the deal. And sometimes there's people that fail. And it's because they got disconnected. That old wild nature came back alive. And the old wild nature brings back the misery and the depression and the oppression. And all of that old wild nature is just, it just won't let you sleep at night. All you need to do, Jesus is merciful. We can see in the last book of the Bible, the Lord was visiting churches. And the basic thing was repent. Repent. Just repent. I stand at the door and knock. If any man would open, I would sup with him and him with me. I mean, the last book of the Bible, last chapter of the Bible, it was another invitation, and it was to people who really knew the truth. The bride, the spirit in the bride says, come. If any man is athirst, come. The spirit in the bride says, come and drink of that water freely. What is that water? Jesus made it clear. It's the Holy Ghost. Everything was pointing to the Holy Ghost. Tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. The Holy Ghost is coming. It came and it's here today. The Spirit of the Lord is given the invitation today. The Word of the Lord. And the bride is the church. And the bride is working together to try to bring everybody that's hurting, everybody that's miserable, everybody that's thirsty and hungry, and everybody that don't understand why. Am I feeling like quitting church? I just feel like just throwing in the towel. I'm going to tell you what you need. You need to get up here, amen, and pray. You need to let the church pray with you. You need to get engrafted into Jesus. You need to let that spirit flow all over anew. Amen. He loves us. He loves us. This is not a message of beat you down and belittle you and it's a message of hope. It's a message of hope. I know what it's like to feel like, why can't I do it? Why can't I? Why am I doing this? Why am I fighting this? But I thank God that the Lord revealed to me where my help comes from. It comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what will make you an overcomer. Amen. That's what will make you an overcomer. That's what will make you a son of God, a child of God, a winner. Amen. Anybody want to pray today? Can we, whatever you want to sing, play? Why don't we pray? Why don't you invite somebody to the altar? Amen. Jesus is here and he's calling. I did my best today. Hallelujah. I preached the word. Now, It's your responsibility to respond to the word and respond to the Spirit of God. We have altars here today, and that's where Jesus meets with us. Thank God for altars. All of us need the altar. Thank you, Jesus, for the altar. Hallelujah. That's where help is at, in the altar. That's where forgiveness and restoration is at. Nobody has to be ashamed to come to the altar. We all need to go to the altar. We have an altar. Amen. We have an altar. That means we have access to Jesus. We have a way to get to Him by way of the altar. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we pray, everybody? Why don't we pray today? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Give Jesus a chance.
Jesus, help us.
Give Him a chance. Give Him a chance to change your life. Though you've tried everything, and everything has let you down, give Jesus a chance to change your life. Give Jesus a chance. Give Jesus a chance. Give Him a chance to change.
Let's begin to gather around the front here. We're going to pray for a while. There's people that are seeking the Lord. God is here to do a work in every life, in every heart that's hungry and desires the truth. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, I worship you, God.